that subject, Faith Has a Story. So as we continue with this series on faith, we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4, and then 2 Corinthians 3:17. I just really want you to see, there's a lot of scripture today, so I'm having a PowerPoint presentation going on through this message this morning, dealing with this distinct subject that faith has a story. Last week we spoke on the effect that faith has a witness. We have been working with this faith subject for a while now, and my prayer every day, and my prayer is that it is becoming alive in your life, faith. You know, you need to have faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith is a very important part of our Christian character, and it's something that we need to have every day of our life. Not just Sunday, but every day of our life. We need to live by faith. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. We need to believe God for great things and small things, but believe God for everything, knowing that He will handle every situation and every circumstance that you're going through, and every blessing that comes your way is because of His great love towards you. Amen. As a matter of fact, when you got saved by faith, you got saved by grace, you got saved by a belief there is Jesus Christ who died on that cross, shed His blood, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, is forever interceding for us. He was a servant. He was God-man on this earth. He was truly the only begotten Son of God. So always remember, it's His grace that came into your life, unmerited favor. We didn't deserve to be saved. That unmerited favor into your life, and you accepted this by faith. You don't even get wisdom unless you pray in faith. You know, you have to have faith in your vocabulary, faith in everything that you do. You have to have faith involved. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. There's so much in that scripture there. But really, if you encapsulate it and put it into one spot or one sentence, what it's really saying is that we are an example of who Jesus was. We are an example of who Jesus is, and we are an example of what Jesus can do in our life. And we are a fragrance. We're an aroma to people. Some people, it is an aroma of death because they don't want anything to do with God, and they turn from God. But others, it's an aroma to life. They see Jesus, and they want Jesus, and they want to be part of the kingdom of God. We just continue to move forward in that, and we have to understand that it's God in us that produces and promotes us to do the things that God has called us to do. In 2 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. And we have such a trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And let me just say this to you, that we're all ministers of the gospel. There are offices of the church, but those offices of the church never states that no one else can do anything. We are all ministers of the gospel. Those offices were set in the church to keep the church in order here on earth. But we are all ministers, and we have all have a story, not written in ink, but written in our hearts. We have a story to tell. Our life is a story. So we have to see that all our sufficiency is not about you or I. Jesus even said, without me, in John 15, without me, you are nothing. But what he's saying there is, with me, you're everything. Paul even said it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He even said that he no longer lives. He's dead. But now Christ lives through him, and he lives by the faith in the Son of God who gave himself for him, Galatians 2:20. Bible says we are alive in Christ. It says that in the scriptures right before that we are always triumphing in Christ. We're always winning the battle. We just seem to think we're defeated. We're not defeated. We're winning. We're on top of it. You say, my prayers aren't answered. Well, they're on their way. You're not losing, you're winning. You've already won. If you cross the finish line right now, you're right there. You're still running the race. So you need to run it to win. Lay down the sins that so easily beset you, and pick up the banner and move forward in Christ Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him looked beyond the cross. And he went through the suffering and the pain, knowing that what would be the result of his investment would be you and I being saved, living a life. And that's why I always think why Christians just are so funny. Because they always look so sad, and yet they got the best of everything. It's amazing to me. We're the happiest people in the world. Tell your face that. We are really, really happy people. Amen. We got the best. We have Jesus as our brother. We sang a song this morning. He calls me friend. We sang another song, asking him in prayer, in a song, to take control of our life. That's amazing. Be in control. Do that. Then we sang a song about amazing love. How wonderful is that? Knowing that he is totally that amazing love in our life. We get blessed, he got condemned. We get pulled in and hugged, he gets cast outside the camp. We're the ones that get the blessing for what he did. We should be happy. Oh, wait, let's reverse it. What if we had to do everything he did and he got happy from it? All of us wouldn't be sitting here today, because everybody else would be, I'm not doing that. I don't even know who Jesus is. Jesus who? Well, let me tell you, he didn't say Larry who. He didn't say Eva who. He didn't say Carmen who. He didn't say Ed who. He was on that cross and we were all on his mind. Amen. When we were yet in darkness, he died for us. And we're the beneficiaries. As a matter of fact, Romans in chapter 8 says that we're joint heirs. If you study law, joint heirs states that everything that Jesus has, we have equally. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, I want you to turn upside down, stand on your head so your frown will smile. I want you to understand, it's so important that we know that what Jesus has done for us is a matter of true belief in God's word. Sometimes we let the letter kill us. The laws of the church and the laws of this and the laws of that. We forget that the Spirit gives life. And the last scripture I want to read before I begin to preach is in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Sometimes I wonder in the church. I know the Spirit's there. Amen. But I'm wondering where the liberty is. And if we don't move in faith and live by faith and have faith in our life, we get all shackled up, cuffed up, straitjacketed up. We can't move. We can't do anything until we're told how to do it, when to sit, how to raise your arms. And some people can't raise their arms because they're so bound up in their problems. When they try to raise their arms, they're a straight jacket problem. They're doing like this. They can't do nothing. You follow what I'm saying? You know, there's liberty in the house of God. We should be able to praise and worship and shout and speak in tongues. Praise God. Pray for the sick. Tell one another we love each other. Amen. I was thinking this week how people sit in church and they criticize everything in church. Then they get home and they want everybody to love on them. If you want to be successful in life, believe God and love people and move where God wants you to move. And you have a destiny that God has personally designed for you. It's really powerful stuff I'm saying this morning. And I've often reflected and stated boldly, both in person, to person conversation, and also in meetings held in large auditoriums with many people there, this statement. We as Christians are walking advertisements of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his power. That's what we are. We're a billboard for Jesus. Some folks just want to show Jesus as this kind of king that's there, but we don't really believe it. Every little problem is the worst thing in the world. Everything's always wrong. Nothing's ever right. The preacher preaches too long, too loud, too aggressive, and he always stays on the same stuff. The worship, what's going on with worship anyhow? You know, people got stuff to say all the time. Why doesn't the guy who runs the PowerPoint know how to press a simple button on an iPad? We have all these complaints. I want a pastor to preach to me. I don't want an evangelist. Well, maybe you need an evangelist. Amen. You know, I'm just trying to tell you something. You know, you got to come into church with a faith. It says, I want to be blessed. I want to believe God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I trust God. I love to worship. I love to hear the word. I love to be in community. I just love to be around Christian folks. Well, let me go on here and tell you something, that our lives as Christians is not a fiction novel or story. In other words, literature in the form of prose, especially a short story or a novel, which describes imaginary events and people. An invention or fabrication as opposed to fact. But on the contrary, we are nonfiction stories, which are stories that are based on facts, real events, real people, as we read in the Word of God. I've been healed. Bad knee, bad back, ulcer. Healed. Healed of a face problem with nerve endings shooting through my face. Healed. My soul's been healed from sin. My step towards hell was reversed. Now I'm running towards heaven. I don't look down. I'm looking to the upward gaze of the throne room of grace. I think that the psalmist put that in the book of Psalms when he wrote, "He's the lifter of my head." Because he must have looked down the annals of history and saw all the saints of God just kind of moping and droping. You know what I mean? Just kind of moving like this. Praise God, I'm going to church. You look bad today. What's wrong? Got to go to church. Got to worship God. Man. On Monday, they're all happy. What you doing? I'm on my way to work. Amen. Hallelujah. But oh my God. I'm going to church. How come you're so sad? I'm going to church. Got to go to church and be with people I don't really love and like. It's the closest church to my home. Praise God. But now we should be happy. We should be so pleased to be in the house of God. He's the lifter of our head. He's a shield about us. So the shield is that the devil can't get through God. Faith. The shield of faith. When he shoots those fiery missiles or darts at you, they hit that faith. And, you know, the shield of faith is really, if you apply that to what they used to go into battle with, they would soak those shields made of leather, soak them till they were so heavy almost to carry, but they could carry them, but they were soaked with water. And it was like when the fiery darter hit the shield, it would right put the fire right out and couldn't get through. And they also had elements on either side of the shield where they'd hook into another shield. So if there was more than they could handle, somebody else would come along and hook their shield of faith up with that shield of faith, and they would protect like that. You know, unlike in church, we all sit 5 feet from one another just hoping no one gets close. Amen. Well, I mean, you know, there are folks that go to church that you don't want to sit by because they stink of negativity. Boy, preacher, you're preaching now. You know, they're always saying something negative about something. Somebody gets healed and they say, "Well, it wasn't me." Well, come on now. Praise God. Rejoice when others are blessed. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ushers pass out smiley faces.
Hallelujah.
Amen. When people come into church and preacher starts preaching, they put up a smiley face, you know, and they start waving a smiley face, maybe to get a little smiley face on them, you know, a little anointing of joy.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm about to preach here. I'm just kind of getting going here, but I just want you to understand something, that there are some Christians who literally are by name only and live out a fiction story. They're not living out the real facts of their life. They're living out a fiction story. But that's not what God has planned for you and I. God has planned for you and I that we live our faith as a story to the world. Things aren't going right. Man, tell everybody it's going to be all right. Somebody said my bank account's so low. I went to it the other day and I had to open it up from the bottom to get in. All you have to say is this, praise God. God's going to fill it back up. Amen. It's going to be all right. Let me tell you something. God knows how to meet your need when you have a need. He knows how to touch your life when you need a touch of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. He knows how to speak to your heart when you need to be spoken to. He knows how to teach you a lesson when you will be the most open to a lesson and not trying to control God in how and what you want to learn. God wants to teach you what he wants to teach you because he knows what you need to learn. And so we have to understand that is the statements of our life. And I want you to listen to these questions I'm asking you right now. Just what is your story titled? What is this church's story titled? And yes, even churches live out fiction by giving the church a name that reflects just what they are not to the community around them. So we have to understand, we have to live a life that's what God says is to be. Faith has a story. And your story is being told outside these doors. It's so easy to be a Christian in God's house. It's so easy to lift your hands in God's house because someone says, why don't we all lift our hands today? It's so easy to say amen because the preacher will say, can I get an amen?
Amen.
But outside the doors of the church, you don't have a worship leader or a worship team or a group of singers or a CD, a DVD, an iPad, an iPhone. But anyhow, you don't have those things. And what you have is simply yourself. You don't have somebody telling you how to do it, where to do it. The song's up there. Read the words. You know, we are not in karaoke mode. We are in a mode with Jesus Christ when we're outside the building, and how we walk, people notice. How we talk, people notice. How we dress, people notice. How we speak, people notice. They notice the brightness in our eyes. They notice the depth of love in our heart. They notice the judgment in our words, the criticisms in our words. They notice the knife of our tongue cutting, but they should not see those things because those things need to be dropped off at the altars of God. They should see the depth of our tongue speaking the love of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, the faith of God, and we should be speaking the praise of our God everywhere we go.
Amen.
You see, we have to go ahead. We have to live this out. We are not fiction. We are nonfiction. Our story's real. We got real facts. This is not a fictional book. This is a nonfiction book. The stories are true here. Very real. Very amazing. I would have loved to have been on every page of the Bible. Some of the stories are phenomenal. There are some that stick out in my mind. I don't have time to preach today in that time, but we'll get there in this level of faith we're on. But let me tell you, it's awesome to be part of a story that God began at the beginning and knew our story before the foundations of the earth. And he included us in the story. Somewhere we are some chapter in the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is the only book in the Bible that does not have a closing remark or a doxology. It just keeps on going and going and going, and we're living out that story.
Right.
When we look at Hebrews 11, we read about men and women who lived out their story before all witnesses and communities, even to the othermost parts of the world. That's what Jesus was stating in the Great Commission. Now listen to this. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. What he's saying there, if you capsule it, go tell my story. Because my story is now your story. Go. Let the world know. In other words, go and be epistles. Go and be a letter. Go and be a poem. Go or be some sort of a literary work in the form that they would be able to see my love, my power, my goodness. Be an exact image of who I am. Be who Jesus is in your life outside of the church and also within the church. Show God's love. I don't think people should come into the house of God and judge at all. I don't think we have a right to judge. They sit in pews and chairs all over America judging just what goes on. I don't know why people go to church to do that. Why don't you just stay home, hang out, watch TV, and do what you do? I can't believe my pastor just said that. Let me repeat it. I don't know why people come to church to judge, criticize, cause problems,
why don't you just stay home and do it from there? Church is community. This is where we come and worship and praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Church is where we acknowledge the holiness and the love of God. Church is where we praise Him. Church is where people get saved. I haven't seen anybody get saved in a long time in church. You say that's because no one's inviting sinners to church anymore. He stated that we should receive power to live in faith. Luke 24:19, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I think some folks today, we all need to start sitting where God wants us to sit and wait upon Him to endue us with power. We need a refilling of the Holy Ghost. We need revival in our life. We need revival in our hearts. We need to be excited about church. We need to be excited about our relationship with our friends at church and our fellow parishioners in church. We need to be excited about our relationship with God. Amen. To be happy. Amen. To know that He is alive and well in our life. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In other words, you shall become a story where people can read your life. And they can see who you are. I was walking by a guy yesterday. He sells rugs at Costco. I was walking by him, and all of a sudden he comes walking by me. And he goes, hi, you know. And I know that this guy has a bubbly spirit for the Lord. He's like, hi, you know, he's walking by. I say, you know what? God loves you. And he goes, oh, yeah, He does. Sometimes we need to be reminded how much God loves us so we can get the yo-ho, yes He does. Peter stated after they all received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2 verses 1 through 4 in his anointed message to all of Jerusalem, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord your God will call. The Holy Ghost comes into our life that we would tell the right story. What is being lined out here by the words of this preacher today is simply that we are a living epistle for Christ on this earth. Faith has a story. Many people do not go to the Lord when they are in need of a spiritual well-being or to be freshly anointed. But I want to ask you a question today. If you're hungry, where do you go? The refrigerator. Right? You're hungry, you open up the icebox and say, what's to eat? That's the big... I don't know why people speak to an icebox. Or a refrigerator, excuse me, I'm from the Midwest, okay? So, I don't know why they do that. They open up the refrigerator and they go, what's to eat? Like the icebox, the refrigerator is going to say back to you like, well, we got frozen pizza down below. And over there we got some sandwiches that were made yesterday, but they're still fresh. There's leftovers in the back corner. They've been there a little over 2 weeks. I'd be a little careful with those. Don't drink the milk. It's a little curdled. It's starting to become cottage cheese. But oh, right in front of you is a bowl of fruit that your wife just made or your husband just made. And it's so good, but don't take it because it's for tomorrow. The refrigerator doesn't speak to you, but when you're in spiritual need, folks don't go to Jesus. They call somebody on the phone and complain. They boo-hoo. They ask the person on the other line, what do you think? And they're waiting for this awesome response like, I agree with you. Life is a bummer. Life's no good. Faith doesn't work. I just can't wait to get to heaven. Oh, I wish it would just come really quick. No, what you need to do is when you need spiritual touch, you call on Jesus. 1-800-CALL-JESUS. You're not going to get a menu. You're not going to get somebody telling you if you want more options, press that button. And they're not going to say when you press a button, you press the wrong button. Please call back when you can press the right button. No, you don't get anything like that. You don't get this whole thing, and you'll never get a survey from heaven stating this. What did you think of your talk with Jesus today? Number 10 is extremely happy. 1 is your least satisfied. Was your solution resolved on the first phone call? Yes or no? How many different people did you have to speak to, or did you have to be upgraded to a first level supervisor? Yes or no? Would you tell your friends about your call to Jesus? You see, my friend, let me tell you something. You go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory when you're spiritually hungry. You go and sit before the King of Glory at his feet like Mary did. You're not busy doing everything in the world being bummed out because everybody else isn't helping you do what you should be doing is sitting down at the feet of Jesus and getting blessed. What I'm trying to do is birth some faith in this church. Faith that gets excited outside the door. Faith that goes to their neighbor's house and says, man, our preacher preached this. I'm so alive with faith. Anybody sick in your house? I just want to lay hands on them so they get healed. I've been sitting with the King. I was spiritually thirsty and spiritually hungry. I'm so full right now. I want to share what God told me. You see, when you're full, you can't keep things back. When you're full, you're going to put yourself out there and say, man, here I am. Do you still love me? But you know, when you're empty, you just kind of hang out and say, I hope no one notices I'm empty. I don't want anybody to see me empty. Friend, you're empty when you don't react. Praise God. When you react, you're full, you're happy. You know, yay! Praise God to the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. So close the refrigerator, open up the doors of glory and prayer, and begin to speak to Him. And every time you go to Him, guess what? Remember that prayer moves the hand of God. And always remember this. He'll never tell you something stale that's been there for a while. His is always fresh. Always wonderful. The Lord is writing you out a letter in your heart that is going to be read by people all over the world. And I like what Carrie Joby says in her one song. We are now the light of the world, the city on the hill. We are now the light of the world. We're the Jesus that people see in this world. I wonder why people don't go to church, because I'll tell you, when I got saved, I was so happy to be saved. Let me just give you a testimony. I got saved out of some terrible things. I was stoked, man. It went off. The revelation went off. All of a sudden, I got a revelation that if I don't get saved, I'm not going to go to heaven, but Jesus loved me and would forgive me of all the heinous sins that I've done. And I mean heinous sins of revelry, debauchery, lasciviousness, all the terrible things that a man could do. God said, you are forgiven. I was stoked. I told everybody. I told people I was saved. They were looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm happy. I'm saved. But then I started meeting other Christians. And this is what I said to the Lord. Bear witness to this. I said, God, if you would have showed them to me first, I don't think I would have joined the team. Hello.
Hello.
I was happy. They were bummed out. I was glad to be sitting in the church. They were mad at the church. I was glad I had a pastor. He was cool. He understood my life. He was great. I just simply loved him. He was great. And I met people who go, oh, the pastor doesn't let us drink. Well, you got a good pastor. The pastor asked us to give tithe every week. Well,
You got a good pastor. The pastor wants us to call him if we need prayer. I don't want to call anybody. He should be calling me. I said, come on. I said to these people, can you do me a favor? Can you go back to the altar, reenact your salvation, get adjusted to what the Bible says you should be like, and then come back and tell me what you think about the church? You know, they left, they never came back. You see, what I'm trying to say to you today, church, is we as a church, we as a body, we need to live out what Jesus said in John 15, 26 through 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. John 16, 13 through 15. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Wow. You got the Holy Ghost? You got the Holy Ghost? Then you got everything you need to be an overcomer. Yes. You have the best story in the land. Yes. You got the Holy Ghost. You're telling a story to a whole community of people. Praise God. Amen. It's all right to be happy because you're saved. It's all right to be happy because you're full of the Holy Ghost and power. Praise God. It's all right to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, and or if you pray in your prayer language. It's all right to live a sanctified life. It's all right to know Jesus and declare him. It's all right if your neighbor knows you're a Christian. It's all right at work if they know you're a Christian. It's all right if the gas station attendant knows you're a Christian. It's all right if the grocery store attendant and owner knows you're a Christian. It's all right to be a Christian. Amen. It's a good thing to show off your story. I don't know a novelist that has ever written a book that doesn't try to promote their story. You see what I'm saying? You got to talk about Jesus. You got to resolve your issues that you may have and go ahead and let Jesus use you and show off who he is to this world. I love what it says in Hebrews 11, 3 through 5. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. He had a story that he was righteous. Now listen to this. God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead, still speaks. His story is still being told. I think that's wonderful if we would understand that there's a story to be told in your life. There's a story to be told in our church's life. There's a story to be told in the church of God. There's a story to be told in every movement of every denomination, of every relational church, every charismatic church, every Baptist church, every church that names Jesus Christ as the Lord in glory and the only begotten Son of the Father. Every church that preaches the truth and the knowledge of Jesus, and he is the forgiver of our sins, and he will save you. He will set you free. He will fill you with his Holy Ghost. Let those churches tell a story, because Hollywood's telling a story that's destroying our nation. The government is telling a story that's confusing everybody. We don't know who to trust, what to believe, but I'm telling you, trust in this book. Trust in this Bible. Trust in the Word of God, and you will be set free, and you will have liberty. Yes. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The Bible's very clear. It's impossible to please God without faith. Let me close. The patriarchs of Hebrews 11 took these steps, and they were witnessed by God in His great love. They saw just how great their and our God is. Step number one, they prayed. You know, there's a sure sign in people's lives that they don't pray. If you're a person of prayer, you can notice when people do not pray. Amen. You need to pray if you want to have faith. Pray. Don't just pray once a week. Don't just pray right before a service. Oh God, I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to church. Amen. Don't do that. Pray. Speak to the Lord with all that you have. Travail before Him if necessary. Speak unto God. Praise His name. Secondly, read the Word daily. Read it before you go to bed at night. It'll help you not have bad dreams. Get out of bed in the morning, kneel down, say a quick prayer to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm alive today. Lead me to people that I can help. Lead me to people that I can serve. Lead me to somebody that I can go ahead and talk to them about Jesus. Pray. Say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Believe it and move in faith in Jesus Christ. Listen for the Lord. Wait patiently. Isaiah 40 and 31. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up as wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Listen for the Lord. Listen to His voice. Be in community with other believers. Hang out with fellow Christians, man. Hang out with them. You know, it's good to go out into the world and tell everybody about it, but you know, when you're hanging out, you know, you want to hang out with Christian folks. Talk about the Lord. What's going on, man? What's happening with Jesus today? Oh, man, He blessed me. My God, it was a miracle. It was powerful. It was great. And then have that testimony that pleases God. I tell you what, I love to tell my testimony. I love to tell people what God did for me. I love to tell you that what God took this guy and turned him so around. Let me tell you how wonderful it is. How great it is to be saved. To live for Jesus Christ. And He did that. And you know what? I'm going to tell His story. Amen. I'm going to tell His story. And I really want you to do the same. So listen to me. Just what is the title of your epistle in this life? What would be the foreword? And what would your foreword say? How would the end be written? Live your life to the fullest, church. Live it to the fullest. That can only be accomplished by living for God in true holiness and faithfulness. Material possessions will not write about a story that will reach to the hearts of mankind. It may fund it, but it can never replace what God will do for you when you live your story for Him and Him alone.